For millenniums, we have talked about the city of Atlantis. The famous psychic Edgar Cayce also brought Atlantis back to life in the earliest 20th century. Now in the 21st century, we have Marco Vigato, where today we're going to talk about the empires of Atlantis, the origins of this ancient civilization. How has the empires of Atlantis affected us today and past ancient civilizations? And why can't it be revealed where the location of Atlantis is? And how did it disappear? Was it one catastrophic event, or did it vanish slowly? We're going to find out today. I'm Tony Sweet with Truth Be Told. Please welcome to the Truth Be Told studios for the first time, the author of The Empires of Atlantis, Marco Vigato. Hello, Marco.
Hello, Tony. Thank you very much for having me on the show. It's a pleasure to be here with you
tonight. I'm excited to have you here. It's going to be a great time. And we're going to be talking about your book, The Empires of the Atlantis. And, you know, I've had people on the show talking about Atlantis before, but this was a new take on Atlantis and its ancient civilizations. And so first of all, I want to start by what really caught my eye when you said there were traces of three empires. And I want to start there because we all think of it as one Atlantis, one time in a time period, and then it was gone. So can you talk about the actual, what was the timelines of the three empires of Atlantis?
Yeah, absolutely. Actually, when many people think about Atlantis, they would immediately think about Plato's Atlantis story. However, what Plato describes, and this is the thesis I present in the book, it was just a terminal Atlantean civilization. It was just a very late expression of Atlantean culture that disappeared around the turn of the last ice age. However, we must assume that this civilization had already existed for many thousands, maybe even tens of thousands of years before the time of its disappearance, which Plato situates around 9600 BC, or just about the same time as the end of the last ice age. So what he suggests in the book is that Atlantean civilization, pretty much as any other civilization, actually went through different cycles of cultural development and evolution. There were, in fact, multiple Atlantean civilizations that spanned several tens of thousands of years, so that the civilization of Plato's Atlantis was just a very late remnant, in a way, of Atlantean civilization. Actually, it suggests that the origins of Atlantean civilization may actually stretch back over 100,000, perhaps as far back as 500,000 years ago, just at the same time as the first modern, anatomically modern humans first appeared on planet Earth.
So, I mean, wow, I've never heard that take on it before, so it's nice to hear something new about it. And one question always pops into my head is, you know, of course, the Atlantic Ocean, but where did the Atlantean name come from? Was that their given name by later historians, or was that the actual name of this civilization?
I think that was the actual name. As a matter of fact, there were several traditions that speak about Atlantis using the same name, or at least like a very similar name. Of course, the word, the name Atlantis itself is a great word, but the root of it is Atlas or Atlan, which is, again, something we find, for instance, in the New World, in Aztec mythology, whereas the ancestors of the Aztecs spoke about Aztlan as their original primeval homeland in the East. In a very similar way, in the Hindu Vedas, which are some of the oldest religious texts known to mankind, whose composition dates back over 3,000 years. We read about the island of Atala as one of the seven continents of the world that disappeared in the Western Ocean. So I think the basic root, Atala or Atlan, was actually the name of this civilization. And this is also reflecting our modern name for the Atlantic Ocean. So that's right. Again, like a legacy, a survival in a way of the name of Atlantis.
That's great. That's great. And The biggest question of all, and you know, I'm sure we're going to get very more detailed later on, but you know, we always talk about location. You know, where is Atlantis? And with three different versions, you know, of Atlantis, was it all in the same location? And where was the original Atlantis located?
Mm-hmm. Well, people have been trying to locate Atlantis pretty much all over the world.
Right.
However, I think there can be really no doubt, just based on Plato's account, that Atlantis was actually located in the Atlantic Ocean. Plato states it very explicitly that Atlantis was a large landmass. He says as large as Asia and Africa put together, by which he clearly meant North Africa,
right,
and Asia Minor. And he says that it was located outside of the Pillars of Hercules, which is the Strait of Gibraltar. So there can be no doubt that Plato was actually referring to the Atlantic Ocean. He actually even goes as far as describing the Mediterranean as comparable to a port with a narrow mouth. He also talks about the continent beyond the ocean, quite interestingly, which may be one of the earliest references to America or knowledge by a classical author of the American continent beyond the ocean. Now, when you talk about where did Atlantean civilization originate, I do believe, I do suggest also based on all the available geological evidence, that Atlantis truly occupied a now sunken landmass in the mid-Atlantic Ocean, pretty much in the same region where the mid-Atlantic ridge, particularly the Azores Plateau, is located today. This is a submerged plateau just off of the Azores Islands, so in a way, the Azores represent the mountain tops, the summits of these huge submerged mountain chain. Now, throughout the course of Atlantean history, throughout the course of several tens of thousands or even hundreds of thousands of years, however, the geography of Atlantis changed as the sinking of these mid-Atlantic landmass progressed. So what they suggest is that there were, in fact, several cataclysms. The two most recent ones occurred around 11,000 BC at the beginning of the Younger Dryas, but there was also a previous cataclysm that is mentioned in the sources in various historical accounts from Mesopotamia and from Egypt around 35,000 BC that actually caused the first major sinking of Atlantis. So when we think about the sinking and disappearance of Atlantis, we should think about the process that spanned several tens of thousands of years. Atlantis did not sink, it did not vanish in a single day and night, but that process of sinking, of subsidence, actually took several tens of thousands of years. In stages, it progressed very gradually. At times, it was catastrophic, as it was the case with the last two cataclysms, and also the beginning of the Younger Dryas. It also suggests that some Atlantean islands actually survived, or some portions of the Atlantis landmass survived above water as late as the European Bronze Age. So talking about as recently as perhaps 3,500, 3,000 years ago. So by no means Atlantis sunk in a single day and night. It was a very long process that actually triggered mass migrations from Atlantis towards both the Old and the New World.
Yeah, and we've, you know, many civilizations that we've heard of, you know, the Mayans and the the Romans and the Greeks, you know, even though the empires collapsed, the people still survived, you know, in some form or one way or the other. So we've always heard that, you know, Atlantis sunk and, you know, its people perished, and they always talk about, well, it was because of greed and, you know, morally bankrupt and the gods were angry. And then we've heard, you know, violent earthquakes and floods. Through your research, what have you found that could be a possible cause of them going out of power and disappearing from history as we know it?
Yeah, absolutely. Now, I think you touch a very important point about the fact that Atlantean civilization, once again, did not vanish overnight. So,
Right.
in a way, Atlantean civilization survived even the last cataclysm, although in a much decayed and diminished form. Atlantean survivors went on to spread Atlantean civilization, to colonize different lands, spreading out of the original Atlantean mainland. Now, if you talk about the causes of the decadence of Atlantis, I think very much as any other civilization, Atlantean culture also went through different stages of evolution, processes of rise and fall. There are actually multiple cycles within Atlantean civilization itself. So that in a way, the events that led to the final sinking and downfall of Atlantis were, in a way, the end of a cycle of evolution for Atlantean civilization. Plato gives also very specific reason for the decadence, particularly for the moral decadence of the Atlanteans, in suggesting that the primeval Atlanteans were actually divine human hybrids in a certain way. So they were the result of the incarnation of a divine principle into human bodies. And it was up through subsequent generations that this divine principle, this divine essence was lost. Of course, we can take it literally, we can take it, these words however we want, but I think at the basis of it is this idea that the Atlanteans basically lost some of their original spiritual faculties, some of their original also spiritual characteristics, and
Right.
that's what led them through a process of downfall into materialism through to their decadence. So in a certain way, the part of the story of Atlantean decadence is a story of a fall into matter, of a fall into materialism, as their civilization became increasingly materialistic, increasingly corrupt, and lost sight of what were their original spiritual principles. That's what led Atlantean civilization to decadence.
And what did you in your research and exploring the myths and also just the history itself of the technology? Because we've heard, from many people that they were way advanced in technology that sometimes maybe we don't even have today. So is that more of a myth, or do you believe there is something more to that?
I do believe, I think we have to separate like scientific advancement from technological advancement.
Right.
So when we talk about scientific advancement, I do believe and I do suggest that Atlantean civilization was a highly scientifically advanced civilization. However, when we talk about technology, then we're talking about a much more technical application of science. Actually, what is suggested in the book, and again, this is based on a variety of sources, both in ancient mythologies and in the esoteric tradition, is that during the later stages, the later periods of Atlantean civilization, the Atlanteans actually started developing a mechanical technology very similar to our own. But it was a result of the process of decadence of their civilization. There is almost a suggestion, particularly in the esoteric tradition, that the primeval Atlanteans, they possessed a mastery of certain energies, of certain forces of nature that then became lost during subsequent epochs, subsequent ages,
Right.
so that they had to resort to a mechanical type of technology in order to compensate for that loss. And that's why during particularly the later stages of Atlantean civilization, we also find evidence of the use of very sophisticated machines, as it is the case, for instance, with many of the megalithic monuments we find in Egypt, in South America. They show very clear evidence of the use of advanced machines, but that again belongs to a time period more towards the end, towards the collapse of Atlantean civilization, as that process of fall into matter of into materialism had already like reached almost its terminal point.
And you said that you know, the first Atlantean civilization lasted from 432,000 to 35,335 BC. I mean, that goes way further back than what we've ever really thought. Now, is this kind of some proof of like the Great Pyramids and other civilizations that were way before, you know, some of the ancient Egypt that as we know it, and other civilizations that we thought we knew of that the Atlanteans had influence on?
Well, the Great Pyramid, at least like parts of it, because I suggest that, for instance, when you're thinking about the Giza complex, it was actually built in stages over many thousands of years.
Right.
So when you're talking about the Giza complex, many of the other megalithic structures around the world, most of them do not even belong in the Atlantean period, belong in what you call the Neo-Atlantean or post-Atlantean period, which was already after the collapse of Atlantean civilization. So these monuments were truly the result of Atlantean refugees and survivors settling in these different lands in Egypt, in South America, and trying to recreate, in a way, the civilization of their homeland. When we were talking about the monuments of earlier periods, I do believe that some of those may still be found, but we have to keep in mind the extent of the geological cataclysm and upheavals that accompanied the destruction of Atlantis, so that would very hardly find evidence that is still extending today, let's say, or any type of monumental structure that would be standing, even assuming that these structures were erected outside of the Atlantean mainland or in places that are not presently below sea level.
Well, and is that where you wrote about the sacred science? Which prove that, you know, the survival of Atlantean origins, and I'm saying how they sacred science provided the foundation of esoteric traditions in secret societies throughout the ages. That I find that fascinating, because secret societies have been here as long as pretty much man has been here. It seems like. So what other, besides the ancient Egypt, did the secret science of the Atlanteans, what other civilizations that were influenced by the Atlanteans?
I think pretty much every ancient civilization around the world was in a way influenced by Atlantean science or by the Atlantean tradition. Most cultures around the world have at least a version of myths that speak about a lost golden age, about the arrival of some very advanced beings, bringers of civilization, great cultural heroes, the likes of Quetzalcoatl, Viracocha in South America, the Watchers, the Ben-Hai Elohim in the Hebrew tradition, the Anunnaki in the Mesopotamian tradition. So world mythology is really a replete of myths that speak about the arrival of these very advanced, very sophisticated elite, the total primitive humanity, the arts of civilization, the art of agriculture, of building in stone, metallurgy, and so on, so that most ancient civilizations really had the belief that civilization itself was a gift of the gods. There was a legacy from the gods in a way. So that what you suggest is, however, that these tradition, let's call it this way, or these secret science of Atlantean origin, actually survived for a remarkably long period of time that went much beyond just the time span or the duration of many of these ancient civilizations. So to make one example, a comparison, many people today would not even question the origin of our sexagesimal system. Where do we measure angles? For instance, in a sexagesimal system of 360 degrees or time, for instance, why does an hour have 60 minutes, not 100 minutes, if everything else
right.
in our numerical system is decimal. Well, very few people actually know or realize this is a legacy of Sumerian civilization that dates back at least 5,000 years,
right.
but possibly even more if you also believe that Sumerian civilization was itself a legacy of earlier cultures, maybe even of Atlantean civilization. So you find that these are relics in a certain way across many ancient cultures that really testify to the survival of a science of a very remote antiquity. Another very compelling example to me is the system of ancient metrology, the ancient units of measure. So now, if you look, for instance, at such units of measurement as a megalithic yard, as the royal cubit, for instance, were very widely employed throughout antiquity, you realize they are all exact fractions of some of the fundamental measurements of the earth. So that suggests that whatever civilization created these units of measurements at some point were almost universal, almost as our meter today or like imperial system. That civilization certainly possessed a very advanced knowledge of the fundamental dimensions of the earth. The knowledge has not been acquired by our own civilization, not until probably just a couple of centuries ago. So that's again like a relic, what they call a scientific relic in a way of that civilization.
You know, and like you said, Atlantis, we've heard this from many archaeologists and, you know, constantly still searching. Edgar Cayce was a big believer through his abilities. and you, for what, it took you 15 years of research into the origins and the civilization of their culture. Why did you choose Atlantis to focus your explorations and in your research?
Yeah. Well, I think Atlantis to me is really a name for that lost antediluvian civilization of prehistoric antiquity, like the ancestor pretty much of all civilization and cultures existing today. Would really prompted me to embark on this research was the realization that the current mainstream paradigm of history is fundamentally flawed. There is a huge gap in our knowledge, in our understanding of history, as if an entire episode in human civilization was suddenly eliminated. You cannot understand how civilization arose in places like Egypt, like Sumer, Mexico, South America, without assuming that a much older and far more advanced civilization of prehistoric antiquity was actually responsible for influencing the cultural development of human civilizations in all these different lands and countries. So ultimately, my quest for Atlantis is a quest for the origins of civilization, for the origins of mankind.
Do you think when we do find the answers, I mean, even in Egypt, we still finding more answers to questions that, you know, have been asked for thousands of years, and there's still millions of undiscovered things in Egypt. They're finding new things all the time. But do you feel Atlantis could answer the questions of the beginning of humans? I know we've talked about the Anunnaki, so apparently the Anunnaki must have been here before the Atlanteans, because supposedly that's when we first came to this earth. What is your thoughts on that?
Well, there is the idea, in a way, that the Atlanteans were the first truly human civilization. They were the first truly anatomically modern humans,
right,
in a world that was at the time still mostly inhabited by hominins, or like primitive human. So that in a way, the story of Atlantis is a story of a human civilization, how the first anatomically modern humans appeared on what they suggest was a now sunken mid-Atlantic landmass. From there, they went on to colonize pretty much all the rest of the world, interbreeding as well in the process with other hominin species and other like primitive human species as well, to give rise to what is modern day humanity. I do believe that we are in a way a hybrid species as a result of interbreeding among many different human species. And this is a model, by the way, that even like mainstream science, mainstream anthropology is increasingly embracing, with the idea that Neanderthals and Denisovans interbred, for instance, like the evidence of interbreeding between anatomically modern humans and Neanderthals. I think that's becoming more and more accepted. So what I'm suggesting is the possibility of a still unknown human ancestor, that human ancestor species that developed in substantial isolation on a now sunken mid-Atlantic landmass and was actually responsible to a process of interbreeding and hybridization for giving rise to what we consider nowadays as anatomically modern humans.
That's awesome. Yeah, that's, I mean, I, as most of us, they say, you know, we hope to find something in our lifetime, but unfortunately, we probably won't find the true answers to it. But it's always interesting to at least keep the conversation going.
Yeah, and it will be the work of many generations.
Oh, yeah.
So it will
yeah.
definitely not be the work of a life.
Yeah. And well, during your research, what was the most stunning discovery that made while illustrating in your for the first that you found that really made an impact on you? Was there a discovery that just blew your mind once you did the research and it kind of made sense to be able to be part of your book?
Yeah, I think Göbekli Tepe is probably like that, or the discovery of Göbekli Tepe is to me truly a landmark event, a true milestone in our understanding of the remote human past. And it's not because of Göbekli Tepe in and of itself necessarily speaks about a technologically advanced civilization. By most standards, Göbekli Tepe is still a relatively primitive site, but it's exceptionally advanced if you compare it to everything else that existed on planet Earth at the time. Now, Göbekli Tepe has been firmly dated to over 9,000 years BC. It is almost 11,000 years ago, which makes it the oldest monumental stone structure ever found. And I'm saying ever found because I'm sure there are many more structures like that, maybe even far older structures, but this is just the oldest that we know of. Now, Göbekli Tepe completely changed our view of prehistory in a world in which we're used to believe that at that time there were essentially only hunter-gatherers on our planet, and that human civilization of that period was entirely incapable of anything like sophisticated monumental architecture, definitely on the scale that we find at Göbekli Tepe. And yet what we find is an incredibly monumental temple. In many aspects, Göbekli Tepe is far more sophisticated, far more complex than even Stonehenge, yet Göbekli Tepe is almost 7,000 years older than Stonehenge. So you have to ask yourself the question as to where did that knowledge come from? And I think sites like Göbekli Tepe, and by the way, just recently, many more sites like Karam Tepe, for instance, so-called Tastepeler sites all around Göbekli Tepe have been found, which show that Göbekli Tepe did not stand in isolation. It's actually the center of a sprawling culture and civilization. What is interesting about that culture is that it's as if that civilization was brought there from somewhere else. It appears already fully developed, with already a perfect knowledge of architecture, of mathematics, geometry, and astronomy. And then throughout the following centuries and millennia, that civilization clearly enter into a stage of decadence, so that by around 7,000 BC, or after approximately 1,500 years, that civilization disappeared. They became increasingly worse at temple building, the use of large stones and monolithic pillars was abandoned in favor of much simpler, much cruder architecture until all construction ceased. It would not see anything comparable to Göbekli Tepe on the scale of Göbekli Tepe, at least for another 4,000 years in that region. To me, this is very clear evidence of a contact between the hunter-gatherers, the original inhabitants of Anatolia, and a much more advanced civilization that brought knowledge of agriculture, monumental architecture to the area. So that Göbekli Tepe, in a way, is evidence that this technology transfer happened.
Have you heard about the 9,000-year-old sculptures in Jordan? I'm sure you have.
Yes.
I'm showing some pictures here
Yes.
that.
Yeah, these are absolutely fascinating.
And what do you think? How is there any connection that you could, bring this into with Atlantean and Göbekli Tepe? And what do you think about that discovery?
Yeah, absolutely. I think all these sites speak of the influence from a more advanced elite or a more advanced civilization. What it suggests is that, particularly after the end of the Younger Dryas Cataclysm and the collapse of a Neo-Atlantean civilization, Neo-Atlantean refugees and survivors, they actually scattered throughout what they call the Atlantean diaspora throughout much of the Near East. They were truly the force responsible for these incredible surge in civilization and culture. They were responsible for the spreading of agriculture throughout the Fertile Crescent and the Middle East around 11,000 years ago. And so that all these sites, I do believe they were certainly created by local people, but under the influence of a much more advanced elite that likely represented refugees or survivors from Atlantis or some Atlantean outpost, either in Egypt or the Middle East.
Now, as you know, when you're trying to do research, sometimes you can run into snags and, red tape and trying to get information, and a lot of the artifacts around the world are actually owned by private citizens of the world because, it's been looted for thousands of years. But what was some of your biggest challenges of doing your research and of was it people saying not interested in talking about it? I have some artifacts that I that but I'm not going to let you see them. I mean, what were some of your biggest challenges of writing this book?
Yes, no, for sure. As you say, there are like what we know, let's say what we can see in museums or at archaeological sites around the world is probably only a very small chunk of what must have existed back then. Lots, of course, has been lost or destroyed, but there are still, I think, truly invaluable artifacts that are currently in private collection. I've personally seen many truly incredible artifacts, particularly here in Mexico, throughout my travels in Central America and private collections that would certainly make sort of be like comparable to some of the finest masterpieces you find in museums around the world. And that, of course, begs the question as to how many other artifacts like these exist around the world. Actually, think that when it comes to the search for Atlantis and other ancient lost civilizations, there is almost a bias in the scientific community against even the possibility that these may be true. I think there is now so much stigma because of honestly, of the many how can I say the disinformation that circulates around these subjects. So there are definitely lots of hoaxes, lots of fraudulent evidence around, which in a way also contaminates the field. And that's the reason why I think many academics they want to shun away from these type of research. But throughout my experience, particularly here in Mexico, I found many archaeologists, many researchers that are actually very open to the idea of ancient, advanced, or lost civilizations. They're willing to put the time and the research into these. The main issue, as always, is the funding for that. Right. Certainly, the academic institutions that provide a very effective way of directing funding towards specific branches or specific areas of knowledge, at the detriment of pretty much everything else. So if you really want to conduct independent research into subjects such as that of Atlantis and the ancient lost civilizations, that are almost taboo for academia, you need to do that with private money, essentially. So that's, I think, the main challenge to these type of research.
You know, I don't mean to get like conspiracy theory, because we do go that direction sometimes on Truth Be Told, but because so many people have the private, you know, or own the private collection of ancient artifacts, and when I see, you know, when Syria and Iraq and all these, you know, countries, especially in the Middle East, they go in and they destroy these museums once they take over and artifacts. It makes you wonder why. And even, I know you're from Italy, and even the Vatican, you know, you hear about the vault that have lots of artifacts and information in their vaults to really know where the human race came from. Do you feel that a lot of the truth is right in front of our eyes in people's private collections? Do you think that if people would bring that forward, we would actually find out the beginning of us as human species? And if that's the case, why are so many organizations and people hiding the truth? Yeah.
Well, I do not necessarily believe in some grand dark conspiracy to conceal the truth, but I do believe that people and organizations around the world, they pursue their own self-interest sure. And if you think about what is the self-interest of many organized religions, many organized groups that belong also to political establishment around the world, it's essentially their own self-preservation. And there is certainly knowledge about ancient civilizations, about Atlantis, that is threatening to that establishment. That's what throughout history has led, for instance, the Catholic Church to destroying so many of the records of Mesoamerican societies and Mesoamerican civilization, the thousands of Maya codices that were destroyed by Catholic missionaries and later by the Inquisition. I think it's a testament to that. And again, this is not to say that this was all part of some grand conspiracy. It was much more simplistically and even sadly, honestly, part of the effort of some like zealous priests that believe that by doing so, they would protect the local indigenous people from the pagan beliefs of their ancestors. So I think very, very sadly, this has been the destiny or the fate of entire libraries throughout the course of history, of much vital knowledge about not only Atlantis, but many other like subjects that could have been perceived as threatening to the establishment, be it the religious or the political establishment at the time.
Well, in 2020, you started the ARX project. And people are, okay, what is that? So could you explain what the ARX project is?
Well, this goes back directly to what I was mentioning before about the importance of independent research, particularly as it comes to the search for the physical evidence of Atlantis and other lost civilization. I think there is really no substitute for field research in this area. And because most of mainstream academic institutions would not even consider the possibility of that, I think there is a need for private money and private independent research into that field. And so that's what prompted me to establish, to fund these foundation, which is called the ARX Project, specifically with the objective of helping to uncover some of the evidence for the origins of civilization around the world. So we've been now for almost 2 years sponsoring archaeological expeditions and research in various parts of the world, but mostly in Mexico and Central America, aimed at uncovering some of the evidence of what could be ancient advanced civilization. Now, among our projects, there are also a number that have to do more with recovery of artifacts, archaeological conservation. Just now, we're about to launch one of our first major research projects at a site in southeastern Mexico. It is actually aimed at confirming the possible existing of a huge network of underground chambers and tunnels.
Really?
That may actually provide evidence for the existence, very similar to what we find at Göbekli Tepe in the Near East, of an advanced elite that was responsible for the creation of Mesoamerican civilization.
Yeah, I've recently had the chance to go down to Tulum and Machu Picchu and Chichen Itza, and you know, I've found it so fascinating. But yeah, there's definitely a lot more to discover in the Mesoamerica area, like Mexico and Central America, even South America, with, you know, the Amazon. There's I know there has to be so many things in those, in the forest, that are undiscovered that could answer a lot of questions.
Absolutely. And I do believe, and this was part of the mission of the ARX Project and the foundation, that through the use of technology, we can uncover so much more about the ancient civilization. We can significantly increase our knowledge of the origins of civilization with non-destructive methods, using geophysical methods, using satellite aerial archaeology as well. So this is an area where we're investing right now in significant resources. We're working in collaboration with archaeologists, with academic institutions as well, so that all the research we conduct is conducted in the utmost respect of the regulations that deal with the protection and conservation of archaeological sites, as well as using a very rigorous scientific method, so that all of the evidence that we will uncover will actually stand up to even the strictest scientific scrutiny.
How has the current technology change the course of archaeology and research like this? What is currently being used? Because I heard recently they're going to scan the pyramid, the Great Pyramid, which I'm very fascinated to hear about that. So what other technology that you have used or maybe looking to use to help you in your search and researches?
Well, certainly geophysical methods are one of those here, including ground penetrating radar. There are various techniques like seismic noise, electrical resistive tomography. They're using a way to see what is under the ground, even at very great depths, in excess of 30 or 50 meters below ground. So that can really help in the detection of underground anomalies, such as chambers or tunnels. These techniques then also employed in Egypt, for instance, where they apparently confirmed the possible existence of underground chambers underneath the Sphinx. Of course, you mentioned the Scan Pyramid Project. I think that's another great example. Mm-hmm. There are a number of techniques there that use muon detection. They use the detection of gravitational anomalies as well to uncover potential voids in structure. And the main advantage of these techniques is that they're non-destructive, meaning you can deploy them at pretty much any archaeological site around the world without the need of excavations. It would tend to be much more costly, of course, and also potentially destructive for the archaeological sites themselves. There are also a whole range of techniques that have to do with LIDAR, with aerial archaeology, satellite archaeology. I think you also mentioned that the recent discoveries in the Amazon, for instance, so wherever you have a huge forest covering, like the Amazon region in Yucatan, In Guatemala as well, that's another great example of the use of LIDAR. You can literally see under the jungle canopy where you would have structures that have
Wow.
been like long buried or completely like covered by vegetation, very often in almost inaccessible regions. So, and that allows on one hand to increase our knowledge of these cultures, revealing things that would have otherwise gone completely undetected, like earthworks, for instance, roadways, canals, all these things that will be after passing centuries or thousands of years, very difficult to recognize and to identify on the ground. It can also cover a very large extent or very large extension of land in a relatively short time. So what would have required typically maybe even years of on the ground exploration can now be accomplished in a span of days or weeks using drones, satellites, and aerial photography.
Well, I was looking at what I find fascinating is you and your one of your co-founders, maybe, I don't know, three, but are living in Mexico.
Yes.
So why you're born in Italy, one in France, one in Poland. You're all why do you think the significance of looking in Mexico region right now is so significant in your research? What is that going to discover that might change a little bit of history?
I think there is a huge gap still in our knowledge or understanding of the origin of Mesoamerican civilization. We have the truly remarkable scientific and technological achievements of Maya civilization. Just think about the Maya pyramids or the Maya calendar, but we know very little about where and how that knowledge originated. So most archaeologists that have studied Mesoamerican history and the sequence of Mesoamerican cultures have come to this belief that the Olmecs were truly the mother culture of Mesoamerica. But there is actually evidence that the Olmecs themselves were but the inheritors of a much older culture, a much older civilization.
Wow.
So throughout now several years of research in Mexico, I believe I've now uncovered the evidence for earlier megalithic civilizations that existed, particularly in the highlands of central Mexico and the region of Morelos and Guerrero. There are remarkable megalithic structures, very similar to what you find in Peru as well, the show. A kind of architecture and architectural technologies quite unlike anything else you see throughout the rest of Mesoamerica. And they're also possibly some of the oldest structures in Mexico. So I do believe that some of these projects in the expedition may help to reveal the true mother culture of Mesoamerica. And I think many people will be surprised to realize how old that culture is.
I'm excited, and I can't wait to hear the results of that. Well, I know people can go to your website. And are you looking for donations? Are you looking for volunteers? What are you looking for with your organization?
Well, it's a number of different things. Of course, we constantly welcome new collaborators from a range of disciplines. I think that the search for the evidence of ancient, advanced, lost civilization is a multidisciplinary effort. This cannot be only the realm of archaeologists, but it also requires a range of different scientific disciplines, different expertise as well, from geologists, astronomers, historians of science, architects, engineers as well. So because this is such a multidisciplinary effort, we're constantly looking for collaborators that can bring new perspectives and also like a different angle, like specific knowledge that will be helpful in our research. And then of course in terms of funding, most of our expeditions are self-funded, but we definitely we're definitely looking for donations and financial support as well.
That's great. Well, I hope everybody goes out and picks up the book, The Empires of Atlantis. I'm looking forward to, I'm sure, with so much new discoveries, there might even be a part two. Is there going to be another book about Atlantis, or is there another book
I'm actually already working on a second book that is going to summarize more of the research here that they've done here in Mexico and in Mesoamerica, what I was telling telling you about all these new sites that I've personally explored and researched over the last few years, many of which will be entirely unknown to the general public. And I think this also connects to this idea of lost civilization of prehistoric antiquity that went on to influence the development of culture and civilization around the world. I do believe that particularly in a place like Mexico, like Central America, we have a very concrete opportunity to uncover some of the evidence of that lost civilization and how that civilization influenced the development of later cultures like the Olmecs and the Mayas.
I love that. If we could take a DNA test, and I know it's hard to say, if we could take a DNA test and from everybody in the world, where would be probably the closest ancestor of the Atlanteans? I know we're somehow all connected in a way, but yes. Where do you think would be the closest?
Well, I think in a way, as you say, like we're all the descendants of Atlanteans. I think there is definitely strong evidence of what we could consider Atlantean DNA in the regions that were immediately settled and colonized by Atlantean refugees. I'm talking specifically about some of the Atlantic islands, like the Canary Islands, for instance, were inhabited by now extinct population, the Guanches, that possess some like truly, truly remarkable physical characteristics that would have set them apart from most of the local populations. There is also the question of the worldwide diffusion of haplogroup X of Rh negative blood types. It also suggests in the book it may have been part of the genetic legacy left by Atlanteans. And these traits are found across a number of human populations, from the Basques of Spain, for instance, some of the inhabitants of the Orkney Islands, the northernmost islands of Scotland, for instance, the Western European seaboard, but also as far as Lebanon and the Andes of South America. We have to keep in mind that this was a global civilization. So I think that the genetic legacy of Atlanteans can be found in pockets pretty much all over the world, wherever Atlantean survivors, Atlantean refugees, or the established colonies.
Well, you are fascinating, and you're welcome back anytime. The conversation could go on for quite a while, but unfortunately we're out of time. But where can people find more information about you? I have it down at marcovigado.com.
Yes.
Can people go there, or do you want them to go to the ARCS? Is it ARCS project?
Yes, it's ARCS. It's ARCS, yes. So that's my website. It's marcovigato.com. There you will find links to the ARCS project website, where you can find updates on our latest expeditions and projects. You can also find a link there to my own blog, where I pretty much constantly post updates on my own explorations around Mexico, around other megalithic sites around the world.
Oh, that would be so much. I'm jealous. That would be fun to be able to go on some of these sites and just do the groundwork, but please, everybody, go out and pick up the book, The Empires of Atlantis, and you can go to Amazon, go to the website, marcovigado.com, and thank you so much, Marco, for being on the show. It was a pleasure, and love to hear your years of research.
Thank you, Tony. It's been my pleasure.
All right. Thank you. And thank you, everybody, for tuning in. We really love having you every Friday at 3:00. Also, you can watch Robert Hensley on Monday at 3, Bonnie Burkett on Wednesday at 3, and, of course, me every Friday. And we're trying to bring you all kinds of new information and new discoveries and mysteries from all over the world. So until next time, I'm Tony Sweet. Take care of yourself. Bye. This has been another episode of Truth Be Told. Thank you so much for watching. Recorded live at UBN Go Studios in Burbank, California. Join us on social media, Facebook, Truth Be Told Radio. Instagram, Truth Be Told Paranormal. Go to Truth Be Told Worldwide for more information on upcoming shows.